It's time for Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, the greatest automotive podcast in the known world with Ron Foreman, Brady Wright, and Steve Johann. Let's find out what's going on this week.
Well, what's happening this week is that it's January 19th. I wrote 119th on the thing. It's a long month. 2021, here we are. Yes. It's the 171st show, Brady Wright, Ron Foreman, Steve Johann. We're all here all the time, all week.
We are.
The stuff that we do here on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. We are on Podomatic, of course. We're on MeWe now. We have a profile on YouTube. If you like the video shows, that's where those are showing up. What else? Parler is kind of back, but it's kind of not so much. So we're working on Parler, but we also have a presence on Gab.com.
Good, 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 good.
So that's good. Stick with us.
You're used to that, right, Brady?
Yeah, well, that's what I do. Anyway, our first segment, as usual, is back to the blacktop, and that's where Steve grabs all the cool car-related stuff he can find in the dumpster behind the Dick's Drive-In and brings it out so that we can share it. And what have you got this week?
Oh, well, I better wipe off the banana peel here. Actually, there's no banana peels at Dick's. They don't use bananas.
That's not fair. That's not fair. I haven't eaten yet. What the heck?
Oh, Brady. You be quiet while I tell what's going on here. It's official. The Mercer.
Hey, you might be able to get a word in edgewise now with these
Wait, I got fries.
Hey. Shh, 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 shh. Now let me talk. It's official. The merger is done. Fiat, Chrysler, NV, and Peugeot S.A. has joined hands over the weekend with a resulting company called Stellantis NV. So now they will be called Stellantis.
How's it spelled?
S-T-E-L-L-A-N-T-I-S.
Sounds like a shampoo.
Yeah.
I don't know what the whole idea is. But anyway, Stellantis is now the combined name of Fiat Chrysler and Peugeot. So they'll still be holding all their 14 vehicles will be under the brand. It's a $52 billion merger. Operation consists of six continents, which employ about 400,000 people. So they sell over 8 million vehicles a year. So this is a big outfit. It's the fourth largest manufacturer now in the world with the combined companies.
Yeah, and, which incontinent is it on? I waited.
Jeez.
Yeah, you did.
Well, speaking of incontinents, GM's move to electric power delivery vehicles is agreed to invest $787 million in its Cami plant in Ontario, where it plans to build its Bright Drop electric delivery van, which will compete
against...
Good
thing he's got an incontinent on.
Oh, my gosh. Get the diapers on. Which will compete against rival delivery vehicles. And that's good news for the Canadian crowd. It gives them more jobs up there. And as we know, we've been tracking this, is that a couple weeks ago we had Matthew DeBord on. We talked about how electrics can be used for...
Right.
Delivery. But my thinking is, in my area, delivery guys are out driving 12-hour days now. I mean, it is just now this way it is going.
And nobody's shopping. So
nobody's
they're all
shopping. Everybody's staying at home. Yeah. And especially in the Puget Sound, I mean, I have to admit. But I don't think it could keep a charge for 12 hours solid if they're starting, stopping. So it'd be interesting to see how a delivery truck would fare for 12 hours literally like a diesel, because a diesel can stop and they can keep going. And
that's always been the rap with electric cars, is they have there's a charging distance, time distance, and there's also a range. You know, they only go just so far. So
and
batteries are getting better and the charging times are getting longer, but I think they've got a ways to go.
Well, and they might turn half the shipping van into a big battery as a backup.
Then is that efficient?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, all you can carry is somebody's lunch. And
but anyways, they're going to invest $787 million into it. But it's good news for the guys up in Canada. So good for those guys. And then Toyota Motor agreed to pay the largest civil penalty ever, $180 million, to settle a lawsuit brought by the Department of Justice because the automaker failed to report violations of U.S. emissions regulations for a decade. So apparently... Yep. All these guys have been working very hard to hide the numbers, doctor the numbers.
Yeah.
And but now what's interesting is here in the Northwest, this last year they closed down all the emissions testing places. So
yeah.
I don't know how they're going to test these vehicles.
Well, that law sunsetted.
Yeah.
So, you know, that now the idea that emissions are being monitored, not so much. And it seems kind of funny to me with these people screaming about this Green New Deal stuff. Fine, you know, protect the environment. But if you're going to get rid of the emission standards and not ask for older cars, I mean, what, you know, you're sending kind of a mixed message.
A big mixed message.
Well,
and,
yeah.
And now
that stuff is state by state, too.
Yes,
you know,
it is. Yeah.
Always been. California's always had very tough emission standards, more cars, bad wind control and stuff.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's all that. But, you know, just because you don't have that particular issue, is it smart to get rid of emissions? Well, maybe. Can you make an efficient car without a catback system? Sure.
I don't think that's going to go anytime soon. And the new cars are already very efficient compared to.
Well, that's just it. Yeah. I mean,
they're all
doing just fine. So
yeah.
I thought our carbon footprint in the United States was the lowest it's ever been in the last.
It is. And it's actually lower than a couple dozen countries that don't do what we're doing.
Right.
So misplaced effort, perhaps.
Yeah. Well, speaking of misplaced efforts, I just got my tab bill in the mail for my license tabs.
Oh, right.
$140 for my 2000 Astro van.
Oh, the new Mazda that we Georgia bought $414.
Yeah, but I mean, $140, it's like $40 alone to Linwood is just like, what? Where'd that come from? Anyway,
yeah.
So much for the $35 tab tax.
Well, the more electric cars are on the road, the more we're going to have to pick up the slack because they're not paying any gas tax.
There you
go.
Yeah,
but with 2% of only all the overall, that's a long ways to go yet. But
he's talking about raising it another dollar a gallon.
Yeah.
And then computer chip shortage is causing slowdown in some of the automotive manufacturing sectors. So with all the COVID and restrictions and blah, 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 blah. And just overall, a good excuse by some suppliers to say we're just not going to kick them out as fast anymore.
Right.
Some of the manufacturers are suffering, and so they ripple effect is they're having to furlough some of their workers or cut back on their hours while they kind of keep churning through. And that has been a big issue amongst a lot of suppliers within all industries. Is just the fact that you know factories they got to stay. You know they got all these regulations now. So it's kind of slowing things down. I don't know. Are you guys feeling that same thing up there, Ron, up where you work? You work for a big manufacturing facility. Are you seeing any slowdowns due to, you know, stay away, all the COVID mandated garbage? Are you guys slowing down in your manufacturing?
The only slowdowns that there are is due to a lack of production.
Because there's nobody buying the planes right now.
Well, they've got the 87 going to South Carolina, but we've got some of the work coming in
right.
because of the 87. But other than that, not to do to COVID at all, really.
Okay. Well, the other thing that I wanted to let everybody know before we get to our break is we have a new sponsor, and that is our friends over at D&L Restoration. And if you happen to be
D&L, good guys.
Yeah, so if you happen to be a body tech and you're living in the Northwest, listen to the ad. It's going to come up next. You'll find out all the details of what they're looking for. But great company. And by the way, if you guys who are listening have a business and you want to advertise on here, we reach all really cool people that are into cars like yourself.
Well, and we have a reach every
week
of over a million listeners
that's
alone.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a good way to get your name out in front of people.
Yep.
Welcome.
Yes, welcome. And then lastly, I was just going to say I came across a really cool Hemmings car of the week. And, we'll hold that to later in the show. There's our music.
We'll talk about it. Thanks for tuning in. Coming up, we've got Hollywood Hot Rods, like behind me, on Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
D&L Restoration, a family-owned shop, is looking to add a talented, motivated body technician. If you're tired of working for an organization where good enough is good enough and feel you have more to offer, then DNL may be a great fit for you. The ideal candidate will have a solid foundation in automotive refinishing and be relentless in the pursuit of show quality bodywork, panel alignment, and panel fit. For the list of qualifications and to apply, go to restoreyourcar.com. That's restoreyourcar.com.
This is Jerry Heasley, and you're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, the greatest show I've been on in at least the last year.
Cartoons Magazine is back. You know those crazy car comics from the past. They've returned in the all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of brand new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine full of one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available at your local comic book store, newsstand, and directly through Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com. That's cartoonsmag.com, where you can subscribe to a whole year's worth of fun. Cartoons Magazine, there's nothing else like it.
Attention, men under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. There goes let's grab dinner and a movie. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, good evening, officer. A woman admires that kind of foresight. And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend. Because nothing says, I'm a catch, more than a guy who lives in his parents' basement and calls it my place.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive.
Horsepower Chrome is back for the first half of the Windshield View. This week, we are welcoming Troy Todd
Troy
from Hollywood Hot Rods. Welcome, Troy. Scooby.
Scooby. So, Troy, where are you coming from? Coming with us, or coming to us from?
I don't work. I build cars. I gotta stay busy.
Because I'm looking behind you here, and I'm seeing you got the big screen TV. You got the art on the wall. You got the car.
Well,
that's
pretty nice work.
If you look at the TV, those are cameras of everyone working on cars downstairs.
I see. So we're watching the security camera.
Yeah, those are security cameras. That shows everybody downstairs working.
Oh, so that guy middle left is taking a door handle out and putting it in his pocket. I don't know what's... Oh,
boy, I better keep it on. So, yeah, this is my office. And
nice.
Then that's
right.
Clark Gable and his Packard over there. And my dog is asleep so well, you can't really see him.
Mine's down here. He's I got him.
Yeah.
Oh, here you go.
That's Otis.
Yeah.
So at work, just take a little break, talking to you guys, talking about some cars and
nice.
And whatever your heart desires to discuss.
Well, okay. So is there room in your shop to do a build for me? Because I got.
How big is your checkbook?
Well, that's it, isn't it? Isn't that, that's always the way. I got to tell you, I mean, I knew about you guys. I knew what you did. I've always been a fan of the Mulholland Speedster. It's just, I like cars with fender skirts.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I went back and I thought, I was just going to take a look at the builds, you know, and you got an amazing amount of variety in the cars that you do. I mean, there's a late model Mustang up here. And of course you got the 40 and, which is one of my favorites, but, you know, lots of different kinds of cars. Tell me this. A, how do you choose what you want to do? And obviously the customer has a certain amount of that, but is there a style that you like to kind of put your stamp on, really?
I would argue that if you look closely at like all the different cars, because there's a fair amount of variety.
Sure.
I think that you at some point can kind of see a common, at least design style and a common direction. Not necessarily that the theme or design of each car is the same, because each one kind of has its own providence. I mean, some of them we even make a backstory for and really give them history in advance, even though they're a new build. But some of the stuff like the late model Mustang, we don't do new cars. That only reason that car exists is because Ford asked us to redesign the new Mustang and Ford, so you do it.
Because it does kind of stand out amongst all the others. It's like
agreed.
Deuce, but, you know, what?
Right, but if you look at it, I feel like there's still some similarities, because that car is there's a lot of kind of mechanical bits, like a aluminum trim with rivets and things that seems to be a common theme in a lot of stuff we do.
Got it. Okay.
Our main thing, like the Mulholland and different cars like that, is metal shaping, because we can coach build and literally create cars from nothing. So
yeah.
Even that Mustang, it's a convertible, but the roof that you see is an aluminum liftoff top. It unlatches and removes. So
nice.
It turns it into a fastback design, a true fastback. The newer model actually has more of that roof shape. That was the redesign of the up to 2014.
Right.
So and then the 2015 on is, interestingly enough, similar to that one. I feel like even though that car is odd, it still kind of captures some of the things that we do. And metal, the magazine's named that car Full Metal Jacket, because all the, like, the, if you look at the back, which would normally have a protruding plastic bumper,
right,
it's all gone, and that's all shaped metal that's rolled under into the diffuser. Nice. And all that.
Yeah, so, it's all tucked in. And when it, I'll just tell people, I mean, when you go to the website, HollywoodHotRods.com, you can go to builds, and this shows up as a gallery. And each one you click on, of course, you know, you get more background and more views of the car. And that, the back end of that caught my eye, because it is all tucked in and shaped. And it's, clearly
different.
You know, you did a lot of work in there.
Yeah, I think there's some build pictures on there too, right, where I think the whole back half of the car's cut off and on the ground, I think.
I didn't get that deep into it. I looked at it and went, okay, there's a lot more here than stock.
So that was fun. I mean, you know, I think that more than anything, we like design and engineering challenges. And it's not really fun as artists to do the same thing over and over. So I think, so even something like that is exciting and fun, because we get to do this completely new thing at the same time, trying to keep it within our style, you know, bubble. So one of the interesting kind of speeches I give to people when we talk about hot rods and hot rod builders and things like that, right, is there are hundreds, probably thousands of shops across the country that can build a fancy, shiny hot rod, muscle car, hot rod, whatever, right? But there are only a handful that have a specific design style that have a recognizable, like, oh, that looks like something Chip Foose would do, or Troy Trepanier, or...
Sure.
And I believe that Hollywood Hot Rods is within that niche, where at some point you can say, oh, that looks like something Hollywood Hot Rods would do. And from an artistic standpoint, that's hard to achieve. And that's the goal. Any artist wants to be recognized for their art.
Sure. Well, so, and you know, you're right. You can see a Foose car a mile off. You can tell a Coddington build, because, you know, of that, there's a
character. You're looking for the word character. It's character of the builder and the style of the shop that builds that car. It's the character of the builder. And Troy, you're awesome.
Thanks.
Very cool stuff.
Yeah, there's, you know, looking at the gallery itself on your site, I mean, you can tell there's a photographic feel to them, but looking at the build pictures is kind of fun, because you can see, well, this thing came in kind of cobby looking. That 50 is a 55 Ford, 54 Ford, no, 55 or 6.
Oh, the road tour car. It ended up being green, like a 60s era.
Yeah. And that, you know, that thing came in looking pretty rough.
Yeah,
but you can kind of watch it come together, and it definitely has. Now you look at the final, it's a feel. It's a Hollywood hot rod.
And you know, that was a little bit of a stretch for us too, because that one's a little louder in the design, not in hearing, but in the design. Like that was a 60s panel era paint job, which is a little bit of a push for us, because we really work towards building elegant and classy hot rods, you know, and you know, we'll do you know, thousands of hours of metal work on a car and then paint it brown or a you know, or a light green, like a toned down. And that's all we've always tried to let the cars, you call it subtle elegance or things like that. It's always supposed to be classy. Even a loud, angry hot rod can still be elegant.
Sure.
But we've always tried to let the design of the car speak for itself, rather than you're not going to see a purple flamed, you know, crazy billet wheel car come out of here. That's easy. You know, we call that, sure. we kind of call that a clown on fire. You can make something loud and ridiculous, right, and get attention, but it's not necessarily good intention, attention it'll get. Like we try to really build for, I don't know how to explain it. Just like that, really the design process needs to be more integrated than just loud colors and obvious stuff.
Well, Troy,
it's more subtle.
Troy, one of the things I noticed is I used to do a show about motorcycles, and we interviewed some of the top guys in the custom motorcycling world. And the ones that I like the most are exactly what you're saying. It wasn't blowing up lots of crap on there. It was literally, you have to sit there, and the more time you spend, the more detail you see. And it's just the minutia. And you know they spent 1,000 hours crafting and doing it. And Brady, you know what I'm talking about. It's just, it's beautiful, and the flow stands out. And it's not the paint job. It's not the bells and whistles.
You know what? You kind of just hit on something. Nothing should stand out.
Yes. It looks like it should be built that way.
That's right. You should be impressed by the overall package on first. We actually talk about that a little bit. Like first impressions, you need to walk up and go, wow, and then start finding details.
Well, hold
on. Red Hudson that you built for this 2017 SEMA show, that car is wow from the get-go. That thing is.
Yeah, that.
No, let's hang on. We got our break coming up here.
Already with the break.
Yes.
Already with the break. We'll be back. Hang on. You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it. You just might love the Rad Bastards. We're a family-oriented, nonprofit organization. We believe in 1969 and older, in the rough is enough. Real steel and iron, old school, traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other build, and cruise like crazy, because that's what car clubs are supposed to do. The Rad Bastards are a new class of old school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Join us at cruise-ins all over the Puget Sound and on the Rad Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You're bringing your daughter to her favorite pop star's concert. Do you A, wear earplugs?
Isn't this fun, Dad?
I have a soft pretzel.
B, remember the moment with matching concert t-shirts.
That's going to be $180.
Or we can just take a photo.
C, show her how you used to do concerts.
We're going crowd surfing!
I can't, it's too heavy!
Oh my God! Ow.
Or D, just roll with it.
Woo! Justin! Look at us, we're over here!
Justin! OMG! I love you, Justin! I love you!
When it comes to parenting, there are no perfect answers. But that's okay, because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information, contact YouGottaBelieve at YouGottaBelieve.org.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the app.
Back in Vehicle City. Yes, we are. We're back in the second half of the Windshield U on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And our conversation with Troy Ladd continues from Hollywood Hot Rods. And we were on the other side. We were talking about, you made a point that you, when you build something, it shouldn't look like you built it. It looks like, it should look like it was there all along. And when I go to build onto my house, I'm the same way. So when it gets done, people don't even know that I did anything to the house.
Right.
It literally lives. Well, it wasn't that way, Steve. I go, no, look at the neighbor's house. It's not that, is it? No, but it used to be.
The neighborhood has
so
car
that's
parts in
the way I understand that is you no, want sorry. To have your builds look like it came off a showroom, off the showroom floor from the factory.
Right. And he had just mentioned, like right before the break, we talked about the Mulholland Speedster.
Yep.
And that was kind of the ultimate expression of that for us, because that car doesn't exist. We designed that with the help of Eric Black, who's an amazing designer. And so myself, Eric Black, and the owner, we all decided that we would literally design a car with all of the things that we thought were sexy about cars of the era, 30s cars. So it's got Delahaye, Packard, Delage, Art Deco stuff, just whatever's in our head, drew it and literally built a car from scratch. So for, you know, for you to say that that looks like a car that should be, is the ultimate, compliment, because that car never was. We designed that. We created it. So if all the pieces look like they belong,
it's really
then
cool.
We succeeded.
And it's so it's great that you actually, because I was just about to sort of go there. I like the cars of the 30s. I like the whole coachwork thing back in those things. Art Deco stuff is perfect. And you mentioned Delahaye. You mentioned Delage. Just today, I'm cruising through Facebook, and on one of the car sites, there's a picture of a Delage. It's a silver side shot, and it's a 36 or 37. And you know the ones I'm talking about. I mean, they are so completely gorgeous. It's metallic sex. It's just magnificent. And you don't see the detail. You don't see the door jam. You don't see the headlight. You see the whole car because it's a piece. It's a feeling that they made into metal. And the idea that, I mean, that's, I think that's why I like the Speedster. It's why I like, you know, cars like that, because no individual piece of them stands out. Whereas if you take the car, for example, that was in the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, you remember that horrible collection of candelabras and stuff. Oh my God.
It's pretty elaborate.
It's just amazing. It is literally, to use your phrase, a clown on fire. It is exactly that. And you'll look it up and see it. But you know, the Speedster hit me when I first saw it, and this, you know, quite a while ago, as exactly the opposite. It's exactly, it's supposed to be there. I knew it didn't exist, but it should, in a perfect world, that would be there.
It's what we really like to do too, like a car like that. So it's not completely built from nothing. We always try to add some DNA. So it does have, we literally built a car around the grill. Like it's an actual Packard grill. We have Packard pieces. Right. We did start with a lot of donor Packard stuff and then create that. But one of the things, one of the phrases that we use when we're doing this kind of thing is every piece, like a car like that, every piece, every shackle, every bracket, every hinge needs to be a piece of art on its own.
Right.
But every piece of art need to work together for the greater good. So it has to work together as
an organic construction. Mm-hmm. I like it. You know, the is very much like that same sort of thing. And again, it's got skirts and I happen to like them, but it's that kind of a feel. You can see kind of where it came from, but there's so much more there. I think that's the thing about your work that I like the most.
So Troy, what I wanted to ask you was, if it wasn't for your clients, you could never do this.
Oh, and so God,
who was probably your first real client who gave you your foot in the door that said, Troy, I trust you. I want a showstopper here. That really catapulted you into the.
That's super tough because we're ever evolving. So, you know, each one is better than the next. So that's kind of a tough one. I think I would have to say that I think what really helped push, there's all these pieces to that question. But like the first time we did a chop for Rotten Custom Magazine, that was the first as a new business tick. That was a little foot in the door. That got me some exposure. Then we did the Rides television show, which is, you know, 1 hour documentary on just us. So a guy here in Burbank, who's now, it's been 18 years, and he's still one of my best friends. We're buddies now. We built two 32 Roadsters for the TV show. Those were great cars, not groundbreaking, not like AMBR winning cars, but really nice cars. But that helped elevate what we did to the next level. Then from there, like, okay, they built cars on TV. So what? This guy by the name of Ron Lee, who was in Pasadena, he allowed us to build, I think it's on my website, it's the right-hand drive, little brown 32 Roadster.
Okay.
It's very European, called the Brooklyn's Special. So then he trusted us to build that, and then that was a big deal. And then we kind of just kept going. And then I met the owner of the Mulholland because he purchased the Black Widow car that we did.
Mm-hmm.
And it was built for somebody else, but it went to auction, and this gentleman saw it, bought it. And he's such a good guy. And when he bought that car, he had to find us, find the builder. And he said, I just bought this car. If there's any car shows anywhere you want it to go, let me know. I'll ship it. I'll show it because people need to see this car.
Wow.
So we became friends.
That's cool.
Yep.
And then we started to brainstorm the Mulholland. He said, I kind of like that, but I want a Roadster and I like this. And so we started to put pieces together, then hired Eric Black to draw it. And it just kind of went from there. But we can't do anything without customers allowing us to play with their money.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, speaking of that, and going on kind of a little different direction, you got some other cars in there. I'm not going to hit the Mustang again, but I love this one. I think it's on your top row or second row. That's the Coyote Comet.
Oh,
that's a whole different style of build.
That's my fiance's car.
Is it? It's very cool. I mean, it's kind of a minimalist look, but I'm sure
the world's most expensive or most modified Comet.
Yeah, it's like this is interesting because
it's neat. Yeah. I feel like that our design style and thread can be seen in all of those cars because
sure
that car is highly customized, but you can't see it, and it appears as if it's just a better and cleaner version of the original.
It looks kind of like a mild, loving touch. But I started looking at it, and then of course I looked up the build. It's like, oh, you did everything.
Yeah, but in the end, it's the factory DNA is still there.
It looks subtle.
The
subtleties that make the difference.
Yes, yes.
We think so. I mean, the interior is mimicked from the stock interior of the S22, which is a sport model or something. But it's all leather, and all the metal that used to be painted is now leather wrapped. And again, you look in there, and you're not gonna. It's stock steering wheel, stock restored gauges. You're not gonna see anything that makes it look modern. But it is modern. I mean, there's like four computers in that car to run suspension, transmission, injection, ignition. So, we like that a lot too. We like form and function.
Sure.
So, Troy, who have been your probably the top three people in your life who you look back to and said they were the guys that really helped me, give me the insights, give you the inspiration, and maybe even give you a hand to become who you are today, because somebody had to help you along the way, I'm sure.
Well, not really in the car world. Oh. I kind of just came in this. I have no history or anything in my family. It just was a thing that I just picked up. But number one would be my grandfather, because he's the one that kind of raised me, and he's the one that taught me that he was an engineer, and he's from a different generation where in my family. You did everything yourself.
Yes,
your plumbing went bad. You did it yourself. Yep. Electrical, I've told people growing up in my entire lifetime, none of my family's cars have ever gone to a garage. No plumbers ever come to our house. No, that's just how I was raised. So I was given the 66 Mustang, and my grandfather had a pretty large hand in raising us because a single mom, she was just she was a waitress at a coffee shop. And so it was a meager, lifestyle. And my grandfather's like, so you have this car and it's broken. What are you going to do? I'm like, I don't know. He's like, you have any money? No. He's like, well, you're going to learn to fix it. So that was what really kind of got me into cars. And then I found out that 66 Mustangs were actually kind of cool. So
right. Very cool.
That was my first car.
And actually kind of simple to work on too.
Yeah.
Car.
Back then I got into trying to soup it up, and I did some street racing, and that's how I kind of got, once you get the sickness, you're never out. So,
that's why we're doing this show, Troy.
Right?
We've all been bitten.
And the funny thing is he's the one that kind of got me into it, but he kind of understood before he passed, but he was always very disappointed in me that I did this.
Oh.
I have a degree in business, and I went to college, and I had a real job before. And that was how I was also raised, is education is king, he was an engineer. He did stuff for the government. Like he did missiles and sonar systems and things. So I did that for a while. That was a project manager for development companies. I did hospitals and whatnot. And then I kind of quit my day job to do this. And so that didn't make him happy. But anyway, that was my first, I think my first big influence. And then once I got into the car world, I really respect like Roy Brizio. I always thought that he's a really good example of just a good, honest, nice guy that builds fantastic cars. And nobody has anything bad to say about him. Like, he's just like a great person. And I wanted to be like that, because in our industry, there's so many shady people and people with egos and just jerks that I didn't want to be part of. I didn't want to be part of that. I'm just not my personality.
Well, we're back to character again. With your character, it reflects your cars and your build and your attitude. It's very cool.
I believe that's, you asked about, like, you know, a little bit secret of my success or whatever, that I feel like that's always been part of it, is still do it. We do most of this out of passion and not money. So I lose money more than, like, all the time on our projects, because it's more important, especially in the beginning. Like, in the beginning, it's actually an investment. You're like, we have a customer. He's not big money, but we're going to go over and above, because when he takes this to Bob's Big Boy or whatever, people are going to see it and then reinvest. So I've always kind of had that idea and still do it. And even like the Mulholland, big cars like that, I always describe myself as a partner in the car. Because when we're really excited and passionate, we put so much extra into it that doesn't even get billed. But it's we can show the world our art, which is more important. So I battle with that a lot, because I come from a logical engineering family with a business degree, which is that type of brain. But then I also have an art brain. So there's...
And a car heart.
Yeah.
A car heart. Yes.
That's cool. So I guess that's, I mean, other than that, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of people that I respect for what they've done, but I don't really have any, like, anyone's I've like interacted with as in a mentor way or anything. It really hasn't.
Very cool.
You're doing it right, Troy. You're doing it right.
Well, and I find... I'm an artist, and I'm passion over profit all the time.
Over profit. Oh, no. I'm writing that down.
So my wife's always on top of me and saying, Steve, come on, get. I'm like,
make a buck.
And earlier you were talking about when you take something on and you formulate it, it reminded me, as a musician, all three of us guys are all musicians, and in a past life we played a lot. But I listened to a song that's a remake by a band from an earlier era. And if they make it their own, it's like they made that song. I mean, when Van Halen took on Pretty Woman, it became Van Halen. It wasn't Roy Orbison. And when some of the jazz musicians take on their song of a previous, it's their song. You no longer even think about it as the previous artist. And I think that's what you're doing with your artwork, is you take a car, you reform it, and now it's yours, even though it had its predecessor. Am I kind of getting that?
That's a great analogy. You know, and then, you know, the thing that I always say too is there's no new ideas. You know, it's just you take pieces that are inspired from other places and you put them together in your own way. I think probably most art is like that. You know, you're not creating something that never existed, but you are by combining things that previously existed into your own version.
So like my hot rod is not the Ford that Ford built, it's the Ford that I built after he built it.
There you go.
Yeah.
So Ron, speaking of your car, you take your vehicle. Oh my God, we are down to 10 seconds. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, okay.
Hey, no worries. We could do this again. Troy, would you come back and talk to us another time?
Of course.
That's okay, awesome.
So you can see I'm really shy.
Yeah, no kidding. You got to learn to speak
up. So are we.
HollywoodHotRods.com. You can get it on the website. We'll make a link with the show. Troy, thank you so much for coming along.
Nice to meet you, bro. Guys.
Nice to meet you.
Do
D&L Restoration, a family-owned shop, is looking to add a talented, motivated body technician. If you're tired of working for an organization where good enough is good enough and feel you have more to offer, then D&L may be a great fit for you. The ideal candidate will have a solid foundation in automotive refinishing and be relentless in the pursuit of show-quality bodywork, panel alignment, and panel fit. For the list of qualifications and to apply, go to RestoreYourCar.com. That's RestoreYourCar.com.
This is Mark Mathot from Cartoons Magazine, and you're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
I want to thank my mommy for loving me so much,
for taking me to the doctor when I broke my foot,
for leaving me alone when I wanted to be alone.
And now, as a grown-up, I'm thankful for being able to take care of you, my dear mom, for taking you to your therapies, for understanding that sometimes you simply want to be alone.
Roles change without us noticing. That's why AARP gives you the information to provide even better care for your loved one. Visit aarp.org/caregiver.
Cartoons Magazine is back. You know those crazy car comics from the past. They've returned in the all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of brand new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine full of one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available at your local comic book store, newsstand, and directly through Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com. That's cartoonsmag.com, where you can subscribe to a whole year's worth of fun. Cartoons Magazine, there's nothing else like it.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay, squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org.
It's time for Cars Confidential. We're going to have another story from Fenders, Fins, and Friends. Thanks, Lance Lambert, for donating all your books and time and stories. And Brady's going to tear it up.
I am going to tear it up because this is a great story. This one is something that all three of us can relate to for a variety of reasons. It's called Garage Guys.
Oh, yes.
That's how we got our name for our club, you know.
It is.
Garage Banter.
Yes, banter. Yeah,
you know, banter, yep. You know,
banter.
You'd be looking for your 916th ranch. Hey, Tony, where's my 916th ranch? Well, it's up your rat bastard. You know
yeah,
where it was.
It's over here. That's what. And you made a club out of it.
That's right.
So this is Garage Guys, and this one, I'm the voice of Lance here.
Well, you certainly don't look like him.
I know.
Lucky you.
Jan and I purchased our home about 20 years ago. She bought the view. I bought the garage. We both got the house thrown in with the deal. The garage, fortunately, is located close to some other car guys' garages. The closest in location is Rick, the proud owner of a 1984 Jaguar convertible. Rick owns a very rare car, a dependable Jaguar.
Yes. Yes.
You've ever had a yes. British car?
Yes.
Yeah, it's...
saying... The cost of Jaguar ownership recalls a line Woody Allen spoke when he was playing the role of a stockbroker in a movie, "I invest people's money until they don't have any left." Rick's convertible seems to be the exception to the rule, and the Lambert Automotive Museum will be happy to relieve him of ownership anytime. Thus, my constant question, how's it running? It tactfully hides the subliminal message that his Jaguar will likely self-destruct at any moment, and therefore he should sell it to me at a very cheap price. Just up the street is Jim, whose collection includes a 1949 Mercury, a 57 T-Bird, and a plethora, Lance.
What kind of car is that?
It's not the name of a car. It's a bunch of mysterious vehicles that show up one day and then vanish like the morning mist. Jim's the kind of car collector who says, "Ooh, that blankety blank is just something that I've had forever. I don't really need it." That just something is usually a car for which I'd be willing to hand over my grandmother to pirates. To the south is Joe, who, using his computer building skills to construct a reproduction Shelby Cobra, some of the locals and I stop by his garage on occasion to lend a helping hand in putting together what seems like a really big model kit. Joe usually spends the following day repairing any damage that we may have done as a result of helping him. He has a big dog residing in the garage that always barks at me. The barking's usually the most intense when Joe says, at the same time that he's filling my pocket with a live squirrel, "Don't worry, the dog doesn't bite." Obviously, Joe loves to have me stop by for a visit. We should talk to Lance about the fact that he's unaware that somebody would be filling his pocket with a live squirrel.
I know.
You didn't notice that, huh?
I heard something about that with
Lance.
Richard Gere.
Lance.
Wow.
Heading north finds a tour in front of John's house, which is usually surrounded by a bevy. Again, not a car name. A bevy of hot rods. Someday when I grow up, I want to be just like John. He, unlike the neighbor to the south, knows which end of a screwdriver to hold and that there are tools other than a hammer for use on the majority of auto repairs. I like a good hammer.
Yes, I do too.
It's a Ford wrench, right?
That's right. The Ford wrench. John drives the finest 1936 Ford Roadster in the galaxy, and usually the entire neighborhood can hear him driving down the street. My response is charging out of our house like an 8-year-old kid when he hears the Good Humor ice cream truck. Then there have been a couple of car guys who've left the area in the past few years. I like to think that they're just moving on with their lives and that the move wasn't the result of my constant dropping by to visit and ask, "What are you doing? You going to work on your car today, I hope? Can I help?" The idea of Lance showing up at your house and saying, "Can I help you work on your car?"
Lance never grew up, has he? He's still that teenager.
No, it's one of his most endearing traits.
Yes, it is.
There have one of these vacating, fleeing neighbors was Jerry, the king of all things Thunderbird. He owned two Thunderbirds, a 57 and a 66, that were sterling examples of how cool those cars really are. You'd often see these vintage vehicles at local parades and car shows with the chrome shining as bright as
was
the sun.
Was that a plug for his show, Vintage Vehicles? I think it was a plug in there.
No, he talked about car shows. He hasn't said anything about his TV
show
yet in this story.
Well, he just said there's vintage vehicles in the story.
No, vintage vehicles at local parades and a car show.
Well, that's a name drop if I ever heard one.
Are you listening to the story,
yes,
Steve?
Yes, I am.
He probably moved because his garage was
you
no
lost me at the squirrel in the pocket.
To hold all his car show trophies, or perhaps he was tired of cleaning off his Snoopy neighbor's nose prints from the garage door windows. Lance. Rob, another former neighbor, was more my kind of car guy. He recognized that the world was full of very desirable cars that can be purchased for next to nothing. My dad once traded one of his cars for a box of chocolates and a bowling ball, but that's a whole other story.
That's
Bob's bowling ball cars were often the lesser models manufactured by Chrysler Corporation. Both would take a bland and a plain model and then add new paint, upholstery, rebuild the engine, and end up with a car that, well, like my college girlfriend Sonia, was really beautiful once you took a closer look.
Oh, God, jeez.
So what's the point of this tour bus through your scribe's neighborhood? Well, seek and ye shall find. Fences and locked garages make good neighbors. Every village has an idiot. I think it's a warm and fuzzy story about how a person can enjoy the company of like-minded people located on home turf. I just hope that they don't see their dog, sick their dogs on you, or flee the neighborhood in search of scarce privacy.
Wow.
That has a way with words. In fact, has a whole book filled of
words.
And you can buy it on Amazon or the Vintage Vehicle Show website. It's Fender's Fins and Friends, Confessions of a Car Guy, and we thank him for letting us read stories out of them periodically. We will.
Well, I have to admit, I like his books. I like David Dickinson's books. And
sure.
They're funny.
And yeah. When you just
some
need,
humor
a little,
there.
Need a little uplift in your life and you got a little time in the bathroom, they're great reads. I mean,
perfect. They are the perfect bathroom book.
Yes, they are.
No squirrels allowed.
No squirrels.
No squirrels allowed.
I think we should get somebody to draw up a picture of Lance in caricature with a live squirrel sticking out of his pocket. I think.
Oh gosh, yes. Somebody
who do we know that can do that?
Oh my gosh.
Call up Trosley. Maybe he'll do it.
Get Trosley. Yeah, that would be great. We'll send a.
Wow.
We got to get him back on the show.
Yes, we do.
I think it's time to do that. Give him a call. See if we can get him back on.
I will get him on. Yeah.
I got to get him to do a drawing of my truck as soon as it's finished.
Well, yeah, he'll probably do it for a good price. And
I'm going to ask him to do it for free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talking about the guy at the
He did all the cartoons.
He's in the cartoons magazine.
Yeah, because when Matt Mathot was on the other day with cartoons,
yeah.
he was talking about Trosley, some of the other guys. He's seen his art. Everybody's seen his art.
Ron, are you working on any of your cars? Have you been working on any of your cars lately?
Ron's been working on a tree. Trees.
On a tree that fell over this last. They call it a catastrophe.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
They call the this last storm a catastrophe.
Well, you know, for those of you who are listening or watching from outside the area, the Puget Sound, the Pacific Northwest, had a huge windstorm last week, and it caused a ton of damage all over the place from Idaho, Oregon, Washington, British Columbia. I mean, it was pretty bad. Ron,
yes, sir.
Literally lucked out because it was one or two big tree.
One big tree
came down and just barely missed major parts of your estate, but kind of took out pieces of your truck and clocked the neighbor's shed, right?
My shed.
Your shed.
Clocked their house. Yeah, the branches through the roof into the through the roof and into the ceiling. Water looking coming in.
Looking at the pictures, that thing looked like it was about 4 feet across. Was it that big?
No, it's probably 2.5, maybe 3 feet across.
Hard to tell because it was on your truck.
saturated with water. I mean, when I split the rounds up, it just splashed because it was just.
Oh, I'm sure.
We had like 8 inches of rain like the week before, and then the wind with the ground being soft and the heavy water in the tree itself just.
See, and over here, I mean, I'm in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and there was a lot of wind through here as well. Of course, a lot of trees came down, but there's a ton of lodgepole and black pine over here. They got wide root structures, not deep, and the ground soaked for 2 weeks. Here.
There's our music.
Done. We're almost there, aren't we? Darn it.
The Nathan Lipinski Weekly Trivia Question is up next. Stick around.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Dad!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
We'll be back with more Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Looking for a job worth talking about? Teaching is creative, collaborative, and intellectually challenging. See why teachers have better work stories at teachdfw.org and learn more about becoming a teacher. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
I'm jumping in with my clothes on!
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Help us if you can. You're an El Camino. El Camino man. Only
big block.
$3.96. Welcome back. It's Around the Wheel. This is where we talk about upcoming events and stuff, and we actually have one this week. We're getting there. Plus, the Nathan Lipinski Weekly Automotive Trivia Question this week. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you have no idea the difficulty that was incurred trying to find an answer for the trivia question from last week. But
things that make you go,
yes, but
a lot of things make me do that.
None other than Our friend and supporter and the name source of our trivia question had the correct answer. Nathan Lipinski came up with the answer. He did, because what I said was Ferdinand Porsche, the automotive designer, and of course everybody's aware of the cars, he actually didn't have any car named after him. He designed a lot of them, but he did not have a car named after him. He was an engineer, design engineer. The car that carries the name Porsche was designed by his son.
Oh, wow.
Ferry. Ferry Porsche, and a German kid. And so that's the name is from him, because he was the one that did that one.
Wow. I think we know a squirrel named that.
We do. Yes. Yeah. In Lance's pocket.
Yes.
So Nathan is going to have his very own thing of horsepower, chrome and rust, barn fine dust that Steve was holding up mere moments ago.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, we'll put him on the certificate for this week. There it is.
Shot glass.
Official. Next week's question is kind of a fun one. So there is a car.
A car?
Periodically, well, people were talking about, Troy was talking about earlier tonight, cars that didn't actually exist but maybe should have.
Right.
And there's been several cars that have been designed with all kinds of neat stuff. There was a car that was really the first of the modern cars to be designed with power everything. It had aerodynamic design, steerable headlights. It was nearly lost to history because it was too far ahead of its time. Question is, what was it? You might know. You might have the answer to that one.
What year was this?
I didn't say. I said it was the first of the modern cars to have power everything, aerodynamic design, steerable headlights. The thing is nearly lost to history, but
Can I say it? No, you can't.
We're going to leave that up to the folks listening. You can contact us at horsepowerchromeandrust.com. You can send us a Facebook post. You can send us a MeWe or any of the other ways you can get to us. Toss a rock through the studio window. Hit Steve. He's a really friendly guy about that.
Don't hit Steve.
The next week, you might be the one to win the certificate with the horsepower, chrome and rust, barn fine dust, which, as we know, if you sprinkle this dust upon your vehicle, people think you found it in a barn. It's quadrupled in value instantly. Let's go face. Hey, there is an event coming up this weekend. We're going to talk about it real quick. We mentioned it last week, but this is actually the weekend. Saturday, January 23rd, if you are in the Pacific Northwest, there is a place called the Dirt Fish Off-Road Course. It's in Snoqualmie, Washington, on the way up towards the pass. The event is put on by Avance. Adam from Avance is having this thing. It's an off-road event called Let's Get Dirty. You can bring your off-road car. It's a great opportunity to meet fellow off-roaders. It is Saturday morning. There's two sessions, one at 10 a.m. to 12 and one at 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. They got limit 20 vehicles per session. Cool. You got to pre-register. So here's the deal. Register at www.avance.com, A-V-A-N-T-S, Avance. You'll see the event there and you can go Saturday. That's January 23rd, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Dirt Fish Off-Road Course in Snoqualmie. I bet you if you drove up there, they probably let you register. But check it out on the website in any case. And that's like one of the first events for this year that's actually outside and people are going. And I think that's very cool. Really? That much? You know, you realize, of course, that this always goes too fast. Man, thanks to Troy Ladd for coming this week. We really had fun talking about Hollywood Hot Rods. It's too cool. We reach over a million car enthusiasts every week. You know who you are. Thank you for liking and following our Facebook page and our websites and checking out the YouTube channel. For Ron Foreman, president and founder of the Rad Bastards Car Club, and Steve Johann, our producer, I'm Brady Wright, saying drive fast, take risks, make sure you stick your foot in it, and we will be back next week with another horsepower, chrome, and rust.
Squirrel! 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 Squirrel!